you please be seated? And the notes can go out now. We are in Genesis chapter 1. We're moving on from the image of God to the five blessings that you see in Genesis 1. So we're going to be in that topic for the next several weeks. I was telling my wife on the way to work, way to church today, that I had 3 points. That's why you see in your notes that it's point number one, but it doesn't go on. So point number two is next week, and point number three is the week after that. So maybe God knew that we had lots to talk about today before we got to the sermon or something. So I had 3 points, sub-points here, and I ended up with 5. So I thought, well, that's probably enough to cover a whole thing. Josh, we need more up here. So. Everyone have notes? Raise your hand if you don't have notes. Anyone need a pen? I have one. We have more. Need a pen? There you go, man. There you go. It actually writes pretty good, too. Anyone else need a pen? We'll get some for you. We got a box full of them. Oh, the door's locked. You want to unlock it? They know where it's at. It's on the bookshelf right behind that table there. Austin needs one. Who else needs a pen since we're doing pen day today? Susan does. Anyone else? All right. Look at your notes while we're waiting for the pens, okay? They're in the back shelf behind the table. There you go. In a box full of 800 pens or something. 5 blessings of Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. Now let me give you my 3 points for the next 3 weeks, okay? And they're actually questions. The blessings of Genesis 1, point number one is, what are they? Okay, what are they? What we're going to talk about next week is, what do they mean? I'm going to give you a little bit of a summary today, but more detail next week. What do they mean? And then the week after that, are they in effect today? All 3 weeks are going to overlap some. We're certainly going to talk a little bit about that today. You'll see implications of that even as we talk about it today. So we're answering those 3 questions. What are they? What do they mean? And are they in effect today? Are they for today? So that's where we're going with this today. Now, if you would look at your notes, does everyone have a pen? Everyone has notes? I'd offer you a cup of coffee, but we can't drink coffee in here. Otherwise, I would be doing so. Okay? So I try to keep our own rules here. So, all right, look there in the text there. We're actually, our main focus is verse 28, but the context is here. Verse 26 of Genesis 1 through verse 29. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. We've been over most of that already. Then verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food." That, you can see where we'll be toward the end of the month. We're going to talk about eating at the end of the month. So let's pray. Lord, help us in our study. Lord, we're taking our time with this because we believe so much depends upon this foundational truth as well. Lord, Genesis 1, 26 through 28 answers so many questions. It creates the structure for all of society, the church, the home, the family, government is all built into this in seed form. And we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to understand it so that we may embrace your truth and live your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I started out, I said, with three subpoints here. What are they? And I ended up with five. It was interesting that they ended up being A, B, C, D, E. Do you see that? What are these intended to be? Authorizations, blessings, commands, directions, or enablements? Now, I'll explain each one of those, but why is this even a sermon worth preaching? Why is it talked about? I would say that if this passage comes up at all, and it has in the past year, even by a seminary president who was basically reducing this passage today, that, well, it's their commands, but they're really not their blessings, but they're really not intended for us today. It's more of a choice. And I would have to argue that because it's more than just any one thing here. Are these authorizations, blessings, commands? Are they directions or are they enablements? And I would say, and I don't have it anywhere in your notes, but you want to put the answer as yes to all five. And what people try to do is, and most of it's connected to having children, and I'll just be honest and frank there. Most people try to talk themselves out of the fact that God says it's good to have children and good to have many of them. And that is the approach of almost any higher learning approach to this passage that I've seen. It's more of blog posts and things like that in recent history. And I think then they take away from this passage. They rewrite what God is saying here, which in essence is rejecting God's truth or denying God's truth or changing God's truth, which then makes it a lie. Okay? So again, we're spending 3 weeks on this. What are they? What are these five? And you have be fruitful, you have multiply, you have fill the earth. All three of those, believe it or not, have to do with children. Right? Bearing children. Being fruitful has to do with just being able to bear children. Multiplying has to do with bearing lots of children. By the way, these are filling in the blanks for next week's sermon that you'll see. Fill tells you how many children to have. And ultimately, the ultimate extent of filling the earth. And we're actually going to talk about that in a little bit more next week. If not, the next week after that, is the earth full? Okay, we're going to speak it probably 2 weeks from today, more than today than next week. And then the other two have to do with our relationship to the earth. Subdue the earth and have dominion over the fish, the birds, and all the living creatures on the earth. Okay? So those are kind of self-explanatory a little more. Subdue is a little more tough. A lot of people take offense to it. Subdue can mean a very violent term, and it's not a good term usually as used in Scripture. But we're going to talk about that more as we look at the meaning next week. But for the most part, they're not hard to understand terms. Okay, some people try to spiritualize the terms, being fruitful as in fruits of the Spirit or something. It's like, no, not here, not now. Things like that, multiplying, it has to do with bearing physical children. Now the question then is that what are the nature of these words? Okay, because it depends. Right now we're talking about what form of word are they? Are they commands? And what force do they take? Are they good? Are they bad? All of that we're going to look at today. When we look into more detail as far as the deeper meaning of them next week and even the implications of them, we'll get into more detail. And then are they for today? Today should even answer that question, but we'll get into other reasons in 2 weeks. What are they? Now, what I mean, letter A, and we just have A, B, C, D, E, and the points begin with the letters that they start with. A is authorizations. Are these five authorizations? And again, we answer all five questions with yes. We believe that every one of these is a characteristic of these words. Now, what do we mean by authorization? In other words, it's giving me the right to do these. And that's your blank there. Now, stop and think with me when we talk about this. What do we mean by the right to do this? If you have to go back to Genesis, we assume too much. We read too much into the text. This is the first chapter that God ever gave in the Bible. So don't read what you know or think into the verse. You have to take the verse as the first thing that God has said. All right? And too many times we read into the Bible what we think. And we have to not do that, because then we're bending the truth or changing it to falsehood, okay? But what we mean by authorization is, who gives you the, who tells you you can bear children? Who tells you you can bear lots of children? Who tells you that you can spread out? Everyone here has a house. You live in some kind of apartment or house or something. Who says you can't? You have to just stay in one place, right? We began around the Garden of Eden. Who says we shouldn't just stay there? Who says subdue? And we'll get into this next week and the week after. You're sitting on pews today. What are they made out of? Wood. Daniel got that one, yeah. Wood comes from trees. Now think for a minute. Who says you can cut a tree down? Who gave you that right to do that? Or did anyone here plant a garden this year? Who says you can... Who? That's not your dirt. Ultimately, I mean, you might have a piece of paper that says you own it, but it's not yours. God made it. It's His. Who says you can just do what you want with, build a house, mine metal to make a car so you can drive it? Who says that? To produce plastics out of petroleum so that you can have throwaway cups and spoons or whatever. Okay? All of that has to do with subdue. What about have dominion? Anyone here have a pet of any kind? Anyone? Makari got a betta. It's a fish, I guess, for her birthday from Carissa. That's the only pet that we have right now. We've had different pets. But who says you have the right to have a pet? Or Jim has lots of pets. He probably wouldn't consider them pets. Cattle. Who says you can do that? Okay, this, when God says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue, and have dominion over, that is an authorization that is giving you the right to do these five things. That is one characteristic of these words. A lot of people assume, well, I can do that because I can. Well, it's like, no, because it's not your bill. It's not your earth. It's not your universe. And so God has to give you the right to do all those things, even to eat an apple or an egg or whatever the case might be, or to bake a cake from something. All of that has to do with authorization. Let me read my little summary paragraph here. All that we are allowed to do is determined by God. What is moral versus immoral? Our domain versus God's domain. Our realm versus the realm of our neighbor. All of these things is involved. And those are just examples. What can you do? This is God giving you the right, the authorization to do these things. God gave us, and then here's another word that you might want to circle that maybe is a better word, a more often used term than authorization, but it's the permission to carry out these five blessings. God says you can be fruitful. God says you can multiply. You can fill the earth. You can subdue it. And you can have dominion over all of these things. By virtue of these blessings, which we'll see in a minute that are commands, he's giving us the right to do those things. Where if he hadn't done this, we have no right to do these things. If he hadn't said this, God blessed them and said to them these five things. So it's the right, it's the permission to do these five commands, these five blessings. Okay? Letter B. Blessings. Are these blessings? And the answer again is what? Yes, God blessed them and said to them, and there's these five blessings. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish, the birds, every living creature on the face of the earth. Here's your word here. It's the privilege. I was trying to think of what's another word for blessing. It's the privilege to do these things. Now, what is privilege? Is that a good term or a bad term? By and large. It's a good term. Understand that if my kids have the privilege to go out and play on the deck. Now, these are the little kids. They have different levels of playing. You know, can we go outside and play in the deck? Can we go outside to the backyard? It depends on how dirty we want them to get in 5 minutes, okay, is the determining factor. But that's a privilege. That's a good thing. They see that as, oh, we get to go play on the deck, or, oh, we get to go in the yard. That's a good thing. How do people see these today? Being fruitful and multiplying and filling the earth, all three of those are considered problems today. There are too many people. We're growing too quickly, which as we get to this in a week or two, it's not even good science, okay? The whole concept of overpopulation even is, if you've ever flown, anyone here ever flown in an airplane? It's pretty packed out there, isn't it, when you look down? It's like there's nobody there. Okay? But we'll get to that. But the whole idea is these are blessings. God says it's good to be fruitful. God says it's good to multiply. It's good to fill the earth. He's telling them this here, privileges. It's good to be able to subdue the earth. It's good to have dominion over the creatures of creation. Okay? God blessed them. Blessing is something good, something to be desired. The seminary president that wrote an article, I think it was within the last year, and I felt I needed to respond because people are so stupefied anymore. They already know what they believe without looking at the Bible. But he was basically taking away that the blessing isn't really it's a choice. And anyone here, if someone said, I'm going to give you a blessing, is that something you're like, well, let me hear it first. You want God to bless you? How many here want God to bless you? Yeah, and it's like, well, I didn't tell you what the blessing was yet. Well, it's a good thing, right? And even in the New Testament, it uses a different word than the Septuagint does. But it's something to be desired. It isn't just, oh, here's something you can do if you want. No, it's something you can do because it's a privilege to do it. It's something that is desirable to do. It's a privilege to do. In the New Testament, you have the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It comes from the word that we named Makari after. Makarios is the word blessed. So her name really is blessing. Okay? But blessed. And he goes down this list of Beatitudes. I think there's eight of them. And it's intended to be, these are desirable. These are things that you will want to have. You want to be poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Isn't that it? I don't know if I can quote the Beatitudes right now. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's like every one of those, it's like it ends up, you want to have those. That is the nature of a blessing. All five of these are blessings. They're things that are privileges. They're something to be wanted, something that is good, something that is desirable. Even in conservative Christianity today, they've rejected the first three, by and large. And we're going to talk in 2 weeks whether or not you can do that. Can you pick out which ones you want to say that are for you? Let me steal some of my thunder. If you're sitting on a pew today, you're assuming that subdue is still active. If you have a pet today, or you're eating food that comes, that used to be an animal, my kids are always, Daniel, like, is this a pig? You know, whatever we're eating. No, it's a cow. Okay, yeah, whatever. If you're eating anything like that, you're assuming that you have dominion still. And there's no indication that these are pick and choose. Okay? A little bit to think about, but we'll get into those in the next couple weeks. So the blessing, it's a privilege to do these things. So not only is it the right to do these things, a permission to do these things, but it's also a privilege. It's something good. It's something to be desired. And by the way, all the way through Scripture, all of these things are considered good, especially the first couple. Fruitful and multiply are like, those are God blessing you. That's a good thing. You know, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And he's like, God, no! You know, it's like, not that, anything but that. It's the other way around. It's like, oh, may it be so. Okay? These are blessings. To be able to multiply, to fill the earth, to subdue it. Letter C, are these commands? Commands. And this is the responsibility to do these five. So it's the right to do them. It's the privilege to do them. But it's also the responsibility to do them. The answer are these commands. And the answer to all five is yes, they are. They're imperatives. In fact, it dawned on me, you know, it's like, what's the first command that was ever given to mankind in the Bible? And I used to think, don't eat of the fruit, right? It's actually these five. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. These are the first five commands. They're in chapter one. Then chapter two is don't. Every tree you can eat, but not this one. That was the sixth command to mankind. Okay? The responsibility to do these. If God commands you to do something, you are responsible to obey. So it's an issue not only of right or permission, it's an issue not only of privilege or blessing, but also of responsibility or obedience. This is God's intended order. This is God's intended design. Each of these five is an imperative, a command. These are the first five commands in all the Bible to human beings. To go against that, in intent, is to go against the design and desire of God. Okay, these are commands. Now again, we haven't discussed whether they're for today or not. Most people say no. I don't think they have a lot of biblical argument for that. They just don't want it to be so. And so therefore they pick and choose. It's a smorgasbord. The Bible is whatever they want to make it rather than what God reveals Himself to be. These are commands, all five of them. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. All five are commands. So we have the responsibility to do these. And it's good. These are good things. They're privileges. They're blessings. They're rights, if you will. They're permissions to be able to do this. Now that's A, B, and C. Authorizations, blessing, and commands. The answer to all three, yes. Letter D. D stands for directions. Are these directions? Now what do you mean by that? Well, what's a direction? It's a path. It's a road. Susanna and I got to go meet a cousin of my dad that, as far as I know, he's never met. She's 80 years old. She lives in Newton, Iowa. She has two daughters. I think they're around 50. One daughter and her husband live in Michigan, and they flew down here. And then one daughter lives in Des Moines here. But they are my second cousins. I've never met them. Talked on the phone, we information back and forth, but she kind of got lost from the family because of a divorce in the 1920s. Okay? And I discovered her on some genealogy stuff, and then found back in December or something, found out she was still alive. So I got to see her, but long story short, we met at Biagi's. You ever ate at Biagi's? Went to Biagi's anyway in West Des Moines. Never been there. But since I hadn't been there, I always get a map. So I know what direction I'm going. Okay? That's the direction I'm going. That's what we're talking about here. It sets the direction. Maybe a better way to do that is, say if we're sending out, do you remember the satellites that we sent out? Probes? It was in the early 70s that we sent out, I can't even remember the, were they called satellites or whatever, but they went out past Jupiter and then out beyond our solar system. The Voyager spacecraft that went out and actually were sending back photographs and all of this stuff, and then they shot off into wherever land or no man's land or whatever. But those devices were programmed with directions on how to go a place. You know, where to go. So they had no choice. They were programmed to do that. And that's what we're talking about here. The path which will be taken. That's the word that you want to put here. The path which will be taken. It's a lot like a program, if you want to put that on the side. A lot like a program. It's something built in to humanity as well. All five of these things, and you'll hear this from me in 2 weeks, all five of these things take place, whether people want it or not, to a large degree. They're happening. Even though people might not understand the fact that it's a right, a permission that God has given, or that these are privileges, or even that there's a responsibility there, people still do all of these things. God, let me read what I have here now. God set in motion a path which all of mankind will take, whether we cooperate with God or not. Though some of these mankind seeks to eliminate, each is a course that is determined by the Creator. God set each of these laws in motion that will be in some way kept by all of mankind in spite of man's knowledge or efforts to change them. Does that make sense? He sets, if you will, laws of nature in motion that take place even if people refuse to are ignorant of or are rebellious of the first three points here. They happen anyway. People are still fruitful. They still multiply. They're still slowly in the process of filling the earth. And we'll even talk about that as changing. And they're still subduing it and still having dominion. Whether they understand it at all or not. I almost use the term directive. That's a military term that kind of dictates how things are going to happen. You can use the term decree even. It's something that God lays out as rules or laws of nature, if we can use that. Here's the paragraph right underneath there. Consider God's similar commands to the creatures of the sea and the birds of the air. These commands do not require an active mental assent or moral involvement by the birds or the fish. Yet the creatures fulfill God's design anyway. So see, it's a law of nature as well. Notice this is what he says in Genesis 1, verses 20 to 22. And there's the words that you hear that are the same for human beings are the same words. They're not different words for the animals, okay? It says, then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the water abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas. And notice, let birds multiply in the earth. He didn't tell birds to fill the air. Aren't you glad? Okay. So similar, those terms are identical, and the birds don't know about obeying God. They don't understand the privilege aspect. They don't understand the right. All of those in some ways are still true. But it happens anyway. So they're laws of nature, they're directions, they're the path that God has set humanity on to take. Even if they don't cooperate, and many of them try to circumvent this, but it still happens. If not in immediate families, in the course of humanity in general. So directions. The last one here is enablement. Now this one I'd already had in my mind. This was one that I had no argument with at all, or it's been in my mind for a long time. But what we're saying here is, what if you had the right to do something, but you didn't have the ability? By the way, that's the word there that you need to put in. The ability to do something. Okay? As far as I know, in the United States of America, as long as I'm safe, I have the right to fly. I could fly around my backyard. Okay? I just don't have the ability to do that. How many would love to be able to fly? Maybe just slowly, even just hover. How many have ever had dreams that you were? Wasn't that cool? Wasn't it just cool? Anyway, I can't. I have the right to, and it's a privilege. It would be great to be able to fly, you know, somehow. We're not commanded to fly, so that doesn't really apply. And we're not given direction to fly, and that involves the enablement. But I don't have the ability. Even though I have the right to do that, I can't. And understand that when God commanded these things, it not only was the permission or authorization to do that, not only were these all considered good, in fact, very good at the end, when God saw all of creation, not only are these commands that we are responsible to do as well, not only are they a path that God has set forward for us to do, but He also, with this blessing, enables us with the ability to do these things. Okay? The blessings were also enablements. Each involves the ability and the capacity and the desire to do the things commanded. Okay? And that isn't necessarily in every way every person has the equal ability to do things. But we all have the ability in some way or another to subdue the earth, to have dominion, to be fruitful, to multiply, to participate in filling the earth. Okay? God has given us not only the first four, but also the ability to do this, the physical ability to do this. Now, I put down here Abraham. Remember, Abraham was past bearing children. So was his wife, Sarah. And yet God called him Abraham, who was father of many, and then he renamed him to Abraham, which is father of a multitude. And how many children did he have? None. Okay, and Romans brings that out, that Abraham believed God, that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Notice what it says here, who, contrary to hope, this is a quote out of Romans 4, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now that's a post-creation account. But the idea is God gave us the ability, the physical ability to reproduce, and he exercised that same creative power over Abraham and Sarah to allow them to have a child who was named Isaac. When Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. Okay? So the idea is that God gave us the physical ability, the capacity, and even the desire to reproduce, to subdue the earth. We want to go out and plant a garden. At least some of us do. Some of us like to build. Some of us want to, you know, climb the highest mountain or, you know, walk up the hill anyway. Or whatever the case might be. We want to do those things. And God has built within us that innate desire and ability to do that. He hasn't given the animals the ability or the right or the command or any of those to subdue the earth or to have dominion over it, for example. But God has given us the capacity, reasoning capacity, physical capacity, all of those things to be able to do, all five of those. So these are enablements as well. They're authorizations. That's the right to do these things, blessings, the privilege to do these things, commands, the responsibility to do these things, directions, the path which will be taken. These things will be done whether we cooperate or not on a larger scale. Okay, we'll talk about birth, population growth in different areas and all either next week or the week after as an example. And then enablements, the ability to do these things. The physical, mental ability to do them, and also the desire to do them. Now the application. This isn't all the application. Part of it is just to understand what God does here. But look at three things. God is the creator. At the bottom of your notes, God is the creator. We are to understand God's design and desire and work by and with his plan. God made us. And he tells us how and why he made us. And he told us what his design and desire is for mankind. And five of those, the first five commands given to mankind are there. And each has, it's this command structure is like a diamond that has five different facets, and these are it. Yes, they are. The right to do these things. You have the right to subdue the earth, for example. They're the privilege to do these things. They're good things. They're things to be desired. We have the responsibility to them. They're commands that God tells us to. But they're also things that God set in motion that they're going to happen whether we cooperate or not. And enablements, the ability to do these things. God is the creator. He designed us that way. He tells us that. He even had it written down for us. Very clear. God is the explainer. I don't even know if that's a word, but explain with an ER in the end. He's the storyteller, but I don't want to use story because we're not talking about fiction, and sometimes we think story is that way. We must interpret life and culture by God's revelation. In other words, what he tells us, not by man's practice, not what people do. Well, everybody does it or everybody doesn't do it that way, or by culture's direction. Look at the world doesn't see it that way. Folks, the culture may or may not obey God. Man may or may not obey God. Where do we get our information? Not from the majority, not from general practice, but from the revelation of God, what God has revealed, and it begins in Genesis 1. God is the explainer. He's the one who interprets life and culture. He's the one that says, this is the way it's to be. Not us determining that it's okay for a man to marry a man, for example. Okay? He sets out what is right, what is good, because he is the creator and he is the explainer. He is the one that defines life and culture. Culture is not to define God or morality or whatever. The last one here, God is the sustainer. S-U-S-T-A-I-N-E-R. He's the one that keeps it all working. He's the one that continues, if you will, that letter D, the direction. We can see God's creative work still in force today. These are all still happening. Some people try to prevent children. Some people talk about overpopulation, and that's not true. Okay? But they're still in force today. There's still an expansion of the population. How many people are in? There's two countries that now have over 1 billion people. Which countries are they? India and China. Okay? There's population growth, and sometimes you at least you can logic through it, and we'll probably get to this maybe a little next week, I'm not sure. But people, I'm not so sure they aren't cursed by God to want to prevent children that God says are a blessing. They're being cursed by God. They're refusing to acknowledge God as God, and therefore that's a curse to them. Okay? We see God's creative work still in force today. We're still subduing. We're still having dominion. We're still multiplying as a general population, whether we are ourselves or not. Though marred and actively rejected by man many times. So that's what they are. They're all five. A, B, C, D, and E. These are facets of a diamond. All these things are true. Every one of them is part of what God says. It's huge. This verse, Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28, are foundational for all of humanity, for who we are, why we're here, what we're here for, and what God has placed this with, what privileges and so on that God has placed this on earth with. So I just want to encourage you to review these. We'll look at next week into more detail as to what they mean and also where they occur elsewhere. Like, for instance, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. A lot of people say, well, that was only given to Adam. Oh, really? So the first thing I would usually ask people is, so you don't read your Bible past Genesis 1? Okay, because it occurs actually several times, for example, but it's also brought out in different formats, but they're all usually good formats, things like that that we'll talk about starting next week. So what do they mean? And then the week after that, are they for today or in effect today? And we might put both of those together, but I'm not sure. We'll see. Anyway, Genesis 1. Can you see how important this passage is? Can you see how important Genesis is? Well, we're in that. We wrestled with that a little bit the last couple of weeks in Sunday school. You're still in Genesis 3 in the younger classes today. We're moving on from here. But it makes all the difference how you see life, how you see humanity, how you see men and women as far as their roles and responsibilities, all of that, and how you see how awesomely great God has designed us to be in humans on the face of the earth. It should cause us to approach God with great praise and worship. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your truth. We pray that you would help us again to study these things, to see if they are true, and Lord, if so, to embrace them. And Lord, I know that by and large, the things that we are talking about are mostly ignored, even in some of the biggest commentaries. They don't even approach this, for I believe a lot of political correctness or even scholarly dishonesty, or people just don't want to see how you've made us and why you've made us the way you've made us. And we just thank you for writing it down so it's inarguable, it's not unclear. We praise you for your great blessings. And we just honor you as our God this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.